when I knew that we were that today's service was going to be coinciding with this our annual general meeting and all the business that we would deal with there, I decided that I really wanted to talk about the Trinity and working together and those kinds of ideas. So I was going to find some scriptures which were on those sorts of themes. But every now and then, the lectionary just jumps out and decides to help you. And so actually today's scriptures, particularly that gospel reading where Jesus talks about the Father and he talks about the Spirit coming, they were appropriate. And this reading from Acts goes on to talk about the mission of Paul and those early apostles after Jesus' time. And again, that links to that idea of the mission which we are all called to today. I wanted to talk about these ideas of the Trinity because they talk about the relational nature of God, about Jesus, about the Father, about the Holy Spirit working together. The Trinity talks about the idea of the gift and the call to participate for each of us in God's amazing purposes for the world. They talk about not just the collaborative nature of what it means to work and minister together as people, but the Trinity speaks of God's very essence of being a collaborative and a God who works and is all about relationships. We've already touched on, with our flawed but interesting building exercise earlier on, as people, and I don't know if you're one of these people, I can be one of these people who thinks, actually, the tendency is, if we just get on with something by ourselves, we'll get the job done quicker, more efficiently, and it'll be done, it'll be straightforward. And I'm sure Nick by himself, or even Clara by herself, could have built quite straightforward, simple tower that would have gone up. But it wouldn't have had their creative input of them working together. Teamwork can be very difficult. Anyone that's been part of a team at work, a sports team, an artistic group, a community project, or a church knows working with people, working in teams, can be quite difficult, but they can produce some amazing results. When you're working together, I mean, they were all pretty good there, but when you're working together, there are disagreements. People have slightly different visions about how we might achieve things. People have slightly different priorities, slightly different perspectives on how things might come about. And so things can take longer, be more complicated, and be more difficult when we work together. But I do believe there is something at the very heart of the human experience, at the heart of the gospel, and at the heart and the very nature of God, which says, let's do this thing together. Let's work together. And actually, the sight of people working together, really collaborating, really getting things to happen, is an amazing sight to behold. Even complete non-football fans this season are likely to have been slightly heartened and cheered by the story of Leicester City Football Club. And for those that know, they are on the verge. Are there any actual supporters here? Who supports Leicester? Oh, I didn't realise. Leicester City, for those that don't know, Leicester City, who are this time last year were one of the worst football teams in the Premiership and were on the verge of being relegated, today stand on the verge, if they can just beat Manchester United, which again a year ago would have sounded absurd, but now is they're probably favourites, are on the verge of winning the Premier League title. Here we have a team, and all the commentary, every perspective on it says that the reason they've done it, they've got a few particularly gifted players, although even those have come from way down and did not cost huge amounts of money, but they've got this team spirit, that people that will fight for one another and work together and have exceeded the sum of their parts. It's that kind of thing that I think teamwork can achieve. Of course, this is a kind of miraculous thing. Usually in the Premiership, it's just hundreds and hundreds of millions of pounds and ridiculously expensive players achieve that. But every now and then, you see that incredible teamwork that does it. And actually, some of the more expensive teams this year have proved that even if you've got all this incredible players, incredible stuff, if you don't work together, you don't win. We might point to other examples in the world where teamwork, where collaboration really works. Some of us may have been saddened by the recent death of Prince, the singer, artist, dancer, incredible performer. He was somebody that could play every single instrument, and on many of his albums played every instrument, sang every line, did pretty much everything. Was a real individual genius. But actually his career, which spanned 30, 40 years, involved an incredible array of collaborations, of working with others, of working on incredible performances, incredible songs, incredible dance, and whole films, all kinds of things that actually brought other people's talents out of themselves. And he shared many, many, many songs with others and encouraged others to work on their gifts and their skills as well. For myself, when I've been part of drama groups or creative arts groups, music groups, it's always when you bring people together that the best ideas come. I can be sitting having a crazy idea by myself, but when you bring it together with other people and work up ideas together, that's when the magic starts to happen. And in fact, everything we've tried to do in Cottenham with the community centre and the ministry there has been based on this idea of collaboration, of working together, of saying, I'm not just going to go off and do whatever I want to do, I'm going to get to know people, explore ideas together. And things like the Roost, which we run for families, the community cinema, which we're showing Carol this evening if anyone wants to come, there's still a few tickets left, our arts groups, our groups with young families, and those kind of things, they've all come out of that idea of listening to others, working together, and doing things as a team rather than as an individual. And for me, this kind of approach, this idea of teamwork, this idea of collaboration, has its roots in the ministry and the example and in the nature of Jesus. As we've read today, Jesus listened to his Father. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. He took the time and effort to know and love the people and places that he was ministering in. And he called others, the disciples and more, to participate, to work with, to join him in his mission. Both the mission while he was on earth and that mission which was to go on beyond his time on earth. And we're reminded in today's gospel, it says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom my Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you." So here we see, just in this one sentence, the kind of relationship we've been talking about. It's a creative, collaborative, self-giving relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. But it's not a relationship that just ends with God. It invites the participation of the disciples, and then beyond that, the participation of each of us. God doesn't say, I'm going to do all this by myself. God doesn't choose to work and minister and redeem the world all by himself. Even though, like Prince, who could play every single instrument and do dance like a genius and do all that things, God could probably very easily do the whole lot by himself. But rather than do that, God invites us to participate in his mission to the world. Chris has got a picture of Rublev's icon of the Trinity. This is, for some people, this will be a very well-known image, for others not. This is a several hundred years old icon of the Trinity with Father, Son and Spirit. And it's, there's been millions and billions of words written and ideas explored about this. But there's this idea that as you gaze on this picture, it's not a closed circle or a closed triangle of Father, Son and Spirit, but we are invited to participate. We are invited, we are drawn in. It's not just God being God, doing what God wants to do, but we as individuals and as communities are drawn in to that Trinity and into that relationship, and we're called to be part of God's work. Got another picture as well, which is Matisse's The Great Dance. Another, for some people, might be slightly famous picture. This is a picture that, I'm using a couple of technical terms today, but there's a theological idea called perichoresis. Perichoresis. Write it down, tell your friends, impress them this week. Perichoresis was derived from two Greek words, which was peri meaning around and Korea meaning dance, so it's an around dance, a God dance, and there was this idea that what we are called to as God's people was to join in God's dance, God's creativity, God's outworking of love in the world. And you'll see, if you look at the towards the centre of it, there's one of the hands is not quite reaching the other hand. Can you see one of those images? And the idea is that, with the genius of Matisse, the idea is that, as in the same way we were drawn into that Trinity in the first picture, the painting invites us to participate, invites us to kind of lean forward and grab that hand and join the dance. And that this idea of perichoresis, this idea that we are invited to participate in God's dance in the world, is an exciting one. It's not a distant God. It's not a distant someone dishing out instructions and you must do this and you must do that from afar. It's not us just having to muddle through by ourselves. The very nature of our Christian faith says we can participate in a relationship with God and in all that God is seeking and hoping for the world. So there's something very mysterious and a bit abstract about it. And we touched on this last week when we were talking about baptism and communion as well. There is something mysterious, but there's also something very practical about that kind of concept, about that kind of notion. And in Methodism, and there might be some of you that are born and bred, dyed-in-the-wool Methodists, and that's good, and there might be some of you that this Methodism isn't something you've participated in or had a lot to do with. But one of the things that I love about Methodism, and I'm still relatively new in the last 10 years or so to Methodism, one of the things that we believe in and we take seriously is the idea of working together, the idea of making decisions together. And it's not just, there's not just something being dictated by an incredible leader from on high, although there's good things about that kind of church as well, but actually every voice matters, from the local church up to the circuit levels in sort of Cambridgeshire to East Anglia and then to a national scale. Things we talk about and decide and want to suggest in our local church, things that might come up this morning in our meeting, we can make that voice heard and then figure things out together. Locally, we can always listen to one another and work things out locally, but we can also participate in a bigger thing. We value the voice and the perspectives of young people and children. Children have incredible insights into faith, incredible ideas about what we might do as God's people. One month I was struggling with the ideas for the roost, and Clara, we sat down as a family and Clara had a couple of brilliant ideas for things that we were then able to do with our children's activities. We can listen to one another. We have people here with wisdom gained through age and experience who have knowledge and insights and understandings of God, and we can bring those ideas. We have people that might have only been coming to church for a while, and you bring fresh perspectives and different ideas about what this Jesus might mean for this world. And so as Methodists, we believe that we should listen to one another. We confer, we connect with one another, we can explore what matters, and we can make sense not just of activities and things that we do day by day and week by week, but we can figure out, what do we really believe about God? What do we understand about God? And what impact does that make on how we live our lives? And on one level, I don't want to oversell this meeting we're going to have this after the service. On one level, there's just some nitty-gritty business to attend to. But that is the practical outworking of what we believe we've been called to in God. And it also, we've got the opportunity to discuss what we've been doing, to think about what we've been doing, to pray about what we've been doing, and to shape the future of this church and of this community. We can be thinking this morning, what is it that Jesus is calling us to be and to do today? And I do think this links, which are circling back round to that passage that Margaret kindly read from Acts. It does link to the idea of being open to God's vision, to being open to where God might be calling us to as a church. It says in Acts, during the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. When he had seen that vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. ultimately, I think that this is what Trinitarian thinking, the idea of belief in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit does, is it draws us deeper into a relationship with God, deeper into a relationship with one another, and deeper into our relationship with the world. And when those relationships are all deepening, we are opened up as God's people, as Histon Methodist Church, as individuals, as families, as a community, into what God is calling us to be and to do in the world.